much for joining me. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse. And as always, we're wishing you the best right here on Progressive Radio Network. You can tune in live, and perhaps you listen to us right now, or you're joining hundreds of thousands of people who actually pick up the archives. We're so happy for you archive listeners and for you podcasters. It's always so interesting. And I'd love you to know that we have lots going on at naturalnurse.com. If you click on calendar, you'll find some of our ongoing events. For instance, we have a CE-accredited course called Botanicals for a Healthy Inflammatory Response, Cooling the Fire Dragon. And that's a webinar that is free and does get CE credits. We have another one coming up called Scientific Validation of Botanical Medicine, and that gets 3 CE credits. We have one called Adventures in Natural Nursing, and that's at NYU Rory Myers College of Nursing. That's the NYU College of Nursing, and that is live in person and free. We also have the Naval Expo. The Naval Expo happens twice a year, for the last years, I guess, in the New York area. That's coming up as well. You can go to navalexpo.com or go to naturalnurse.com calendar to find out about that. We have one in Florida called the Gut-Brain Relationship, which has many CE credits for naturopaths and medical doctors. And we have one on marketing your own herbal products, the legal consideration. So all of those are happening really literally within the next few weeks. So it's ongoing. It's almost every day. Just go to naturalnurse.com and then calendar, and you can find out about the many classes that we have available for you. And today we have as our guest Karen Howard. Karen is the Executive Director of Organic and Natural Health Association, and she is a busy person and a visionary and a results-focused leader who has spent more than 30 years working with Congress, state legislatures, and healthcare organizations to develop innovative healthcare policy and programs. Very current topic. She has held a variety of positions, including serving as professional staff on a congressional committee. She has policy expertise in diverse areas of integrative and complementary medicine, managed care, healthcare technology, and mental health. And she is an advocate and has worked strategically to advance the mission and vision of organizations through effective advocacy and strong collaboration. So thank you so much for joining us today, Karen.
It's such a pleasure to be here, Ellen.
So you have been involved in many aspects, and really you sort of have, I imagine you as a foot in two very specific doors where you are a leader in terms of policy management, but it seems that you have a real focus on natural medicine.
I do have many years, and it has changed my life in terms of how I've worked with naturopaths and integrative medicine practitioners. And I have to say, it is a passionate part of my life, and it has really directed me to do as much as I can to help consumers understand what resources they have at their fingertips and how we can and educate on some of the more important issues like vitamin deficiencies of our current times.
Well, that's certainly something very close to my heart, because I'm not sure if you ever knew Dr. Serafina Corsello, but Dr. Corsello was really a leader in the field. She was one of the initiating members of ACAM, which I imagine you're familiar with.
Yes.
And she was also on a congressional committee, the presidential committee, that the first one that was established to investigate CAM, complementary and alternative medicine. So unfortunately, she has since passed away, but I was her head nurse for 23 years and deeply involved along with her at the initiation of this kind of focus. So thank you so much for carrying forth in this area.
Thank you.
Now, tell us about Organic and Natural Health Association, which you are now the director of.
Yes, I have been. I'm the director of the Organic and Natural Health Association for about 3.5 years, which was founded in large part to really serve as an advocate for the public and helping them access research based on nutrient field trials regarding vitamins and supplements and foods. Our membership is really composed of the entire supply chain. So when I say that, that means we represent raw ingredient suppliers, the finished brands that people buy on the shelves, the retailers where people go to buy the products, and even consumer nonprofits. So we have the breadth of, you know, how we do the supply chain. We're getting involved in regenerative agriculture as a part of that, so that every decision we make is really based on what serves the people's interest across the country and your listeners.
And that seems to be very often actually at odds, from my point of view, with various kinds of congressional actions, such as making it very difficult to be able to read a non-GMO label by making it complicated and having to, you know, first of all, put it off, and who knows if it will ever come to be.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think as many years as I've lived in D.C. and worked these issues, the state of our legislative agenda these days and the ability for people to collaborate is so compromised that I believe that's one of the reasons we go directly to consumer. And when it comes to issues like GMO labeling or even all nutrition labeling, that desire to make things more, well, to give really consumers, and, you know, it's people who are driving this agenda. There's just no doubt about it. GMO wouldn't be a topic of conversation if it wasn't the individuals who are listening to you getting on the horn with their legislators and really making a voice as so strong that corporations are actually changing regardless of what Congress may or may not do on the issues.
That is so true. I'm actually looking at your Scientific Advisory Council at the moment, and I think I will apply to be on board because these are my buddies. Every single one of these individuals knows me personally, and every one of them have been a guest here on Natural Alternatives over the years.
I am not at all surprised to hear that. We're delighted to
have really you. The movers and shakers in the industry who are very brilliant and really knowledgeable in both the scientific end of natural medicine as well as the advocacy for consumers.
And we use our scientific advisors to get our message out, whatever that may be. In this case, it's really around vitamin deficiencies and our projects around omega-3 and vitamin D field trials. So these are our spokespeople. They're out talking to retail audiences. They're on the media. They're doing radio interviews like this. They're on TV. And they are the best of the best in terms of being able to communicate directly with people. And then also when we are developing policy positions around certain things, whether it's preterm birth or other issues, we go directly to them and link everyone to their sites so that people can have access to their expertise generally in the form of books and all of their appearances.
Well, that's wonderful work. Now, it's interesting. I just got something in the mail from a local hospital. It's Winthrop Hospital, and they are actually doing a vitamin D study. So I was pretty surprised to find that. And I had applied to be part of this study at one point because I was in the age parameters. But one of the things they do in the study is vitamin D testing. And what they did was they turned me down for the study because they said my numbers were too good.
Uh-huh.
To be involved in the study because they needed people who were vitamin D deficient. And, you know, that's part of what you're looking at, too, because how widespread is vitamin D deficiency?
70 to 90% of the U.S. population is vitamin D deficient. And one of the interesting things about that is I think virtually every practitioner in the country will measure someone's vitamin D level when they come in. Most of us don't remember what that level is. We just remember a couple of things. It's too low or it's good. And what the common denominator is around good is very different in the conventional world than what our partner Grassroots Health has documented through research. So generally speaking, the Institutes of Medicine came out and they said your vitamin D level, if it's at between 20 and 30, is sufficient. And it's you would like to learn more about this. There's a video on our website, nutrientpower.org, where a biostatistician has gone in and unearthed a math error in the Institute of Medicine now, the National Academy for Science, but the Institute of Medicine's research, just a mathematical error. So one, I think that's most important for everyone to know is the sweet spot for your vitamin D level needs to be between 40 and 60 nanograms per milliliter so that you can actually enjoy the health benefits and the potential reduction in disease states by taking your vitamin D. And monitoring your vitamin D level over time, monitoring any nutrient level over time, is really the only way to know how you're progressing, right? Because generally speaking, when you start taking dietary supplements, it's not like an antibiotic. You don't feel better in 48 hours. So our compliance rates for people are pretty low when it comes to staying on track unless you're a dedicated supplement user. So yeah, I would say when I had mine first taken, I was at 38. And that's only because I run in the sun every day. And it was also that time of year when I was out in the sun a lot. In 6 months, I had it up to 58. So it's not a hard thing to get done, but it does require attention and diligence and knowing where it needs to be.
And I actually think that standard of practice, which I work on diligently in terms of upgrading standard of practice in conventional medicine, in my role as a nurse and also as a faculty member at the Department of Family Medicine at a medical school, I think they're very behind because the science is definitely there. And as you mentioned, Karen, in terms of that range that you might look at in terms of vitamin D, very often the range that the test indicates is down to 30. So all you're going to ever hear is it's fine, even if it's like 30 or 31. And you're sharing with us that really the best data indicates that the lowest acceptable level should be 40.
The reason that I get up and do this every day is because of the work that we're doing around this issue. And we're not helping people do research for the sake of research. Our objective is to change healthcare and how it's delivered by demonstrating exactly what you're talking about, Ellen. And the best example I can say is a piece of research weren't directly involved in, but our partner Grassroots Health championed at the Medical University of South Carolina. They monitored their population of pregnant women, generally speaking, from a Medicaid environment through their pregnancies, and they reduced preterm birth rates by 60% when vitamin D levels were between 40 and 60 nanograms per milliliter. That changes things. That changes an entire generation of babies and moms and their health and what their future looks like. And it saves more money than you can possibly imagine in terms of the cost of what preterm births are in our country. I mean, we're looking at roughly $26 billion a year being spent on preterm births, and 24 out of 50 states where 50% or more of babies are born on Medicaid. So this is why we do this work.
Which is a wonderful dedication. Now, of course, in terms of healthcare policy, let me ask you this. What would happen, if it looks like it's in the works here, if they vastly decrease availability of Medicaid?
Well, I think the obvious result will be that people will once again rely solely on emergency medical rooms for their care, their primary care. People will come in sicker because they'll wait to go or they can't afford to go to the doctor. I mean, it's like a balloon. You squeeze it in one place, it'll pop out on another. And most of us are highly aware of that. And when states are given block grants back from the federal government to manage all of those issues, there will be a financial incentive to reduce the dollar amount spent on healthcare. I think at its core, I mean, from an institutional perspective, there are lots of systemic issues around why the healthcare system doesn't work. But for our purposes, in terms of what changing policy would look like, one of the biggest problems we have is that
anything that looks preventive. It could be a chiropractic appointment. It could be a vitamin D pill that's not covered by your insurance, it's out-of-pocket cost, is viewed as increased access to health care and increased costs by the bean counters, by the people who make a difference when it comes to costing these things. So the more we can show that these therapies, these therapeutic interventions, and these practitioners are actually reducing the cost of healthcare delivery through this kind of research, the closer we will be to changing the paradigm that will enable us to actually move towards a wellness system instead of a disease-based system.
And boy, that is definitely the crux. Now, I want to tell our listeners, and by the way, today's show, if you're listening live, thank you for joining us. Our guest is Karen Howard, Executive Director of the Organic and Natural Health Association. And it's such an easy, I love your website. It's just organicandnatural.org. Easy thing to remember, organic and natural. Spell out the whole thing. But you mentioned another website where there's actual health information, let's say, about vitamin D. Where would that be found?
That one is at nutrientpower.org.
Okay, so that's actually related to your group as well.
Yes, it is. It is our sort of, it's for people. And our corporate website for all our members and for people to learn more about us is organic and natural. What nutrientpower.org is designed to do is really empower people to understand the nutrient deficiencies we're facing in our country, what it means to them, how these nutrients work, and how they can source them in food and supplements. So there's a wealth of information available on science. Obviously our omega-3 and vitamin D campaign, which is essential to us right now. And our goal is really, these are programs that people self-enroll in, this research work. It's a grassroots, sort of crowdsourced way of doing business it's creating a collective force to change the way healthcare is delivered. 15,000 people already participate in the vitamin D cohort, and now we're working to build the omega-3 as quickly as possible. So the vitamin D cohort is learning what their omega-3 levels are, and we'll learn the same things we've learned over time about vitamin D, what the real power of omega-3 is, because there's so much conflicting information out there for people to digest. So all of that information is contained, along with a lot of presentations from our Scientific Advisory Council.
Well, it's a beautiful website. I just jumped over there, and I'm going to make sure, because that was not sent to me initially as a contact for you, I'm going to make sure that website gets featured along with your information so people can very easily find it, because it's just loaded with wonderful information about taking charge of your health and advancing nutrient research. Now, what I don't see, and perhaps that's because you're not doing it, I don't see that you're selling any bottles of anything here.
We are not. Obviously, the members of the Organic and Natural Health Association are in the business of making really high-quality products. We only allow those in who meet a certain standard. And, this is more about getting the information into people's hands that they can digest and be useful for them. I will say that when you enroll in the study, there is a fee for that, and that fee is somewhat offset by the ability to have a 50% reduction in some really quality fish oil, actually in this point krill and vitamin D. But our job is not to be selling the products of our companies or promoting any particular brand or branded ingredient. That is not what we're about. We really are about engaging people in this nationwide effort and in some cases international effort for understanding what nutrient deficiencies are and being able to know your levels and live life well.
It's an excellent resource. And also, so that's Nutrient Power, listeners. I would definitely suggest that you go there, nutrientpower.org, as well as the website for organicandnatural.org. And it is very, very focused on information-based knowledge, which is just great because, of course, then there's legal ramifications, as you are intimately aware of, that actually makes it rather difficult for supplement providers to share scientific validation of the usefulness of supplements.
One of my larger frustrations is that we've created a paradigm where people know more about what their supplements do than the companies they buy them from can share. So if, and I think there's, so there's a couple of things I would say about that for your listeners. One is that if there's a bottle on a shelf or on the internet or late night TV that makes a claim that just seems too good to be true, that it can cure, prevent, make you lose 40 pounds overnight, those claims are, one, illegal. And so if it's too good, sounds too good to be true, it is not true, and you need to stay away from it. So to that point, though, that means that, you know, these companies are not allowed to say it can treat, mitigate disease. And yet, and the definition of disease has migrated substantially over the years. Now, we have things like restless leg syndrome, which can be treated with magnesium, but, you know, we can't treat a disease anymore. So you have to be so careful in the semantics of that language, and it's not useful. It's not transparent to the consumer. And it's just part of what the industry has to deal with all the time. One of the things I think will come from this research is that we'll be able to have an open dialogue with legislators and regulators about what dietary supplements actually are and can do, so that we can be more transparent on bottles and claims in the future. But right now, this is the hand we are dealt, and people honor and respect that, and that's why you don't see a lot of things like, will this help my arthritis, because we can't say that.
Exactly, although people do. Well, hold that thought, Karen, and we are speaking to Karen Howard, Executive Director of Organic and Natural Health Association. Also look for her at nutrientpower.org, rather the information. But we're going to take just a short break right here on the Natural Nurse and Dr. Zig. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation and also investigate the benefits of omega-3. We will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the folklore, history, chemistry, and medicinal applications of the common kitchen herb, thyme.
The common culinary spice known botanically as Thymus vulgaris is only one member of a large genera which includes over 400 species and even more varieties. The Thymus genera is originally native to the Mediterranean region and is a perennial plant which grows wild in usually dry, sandy soil, green heaths, and grasslands. Thyme is a prolific, fragrant, creeping ground cover and often displays an attractive spray of flowering branchlets spanning the spectrum from white to violet.
There is considerable debate amongst historians as to the origin of the name thyme. Some believe it to be from the Greek thymen, meaning to fumigate or to burn a sacrifice, because it was used as a sweet-smelling incense and also to keep pests and venomous creatures away from the Greek home. Others believe it came from the Greek thumos, meaning courage or energy, perhaps because it has a reputation of being used by Greek warriors for courage and was bathed in and used as a beverage for invigoration. The Egyptians used an herb called tham, which we believe is Thymus vulgaris, to mummify their dead. The principal chemical constituents of thyme are the volatile oils consisting of phenol, thymol, and carvacrol. A 1977 article in the scientific journal Chemical Abstracts revealed that thymol's antimicrobial activity is 18 times more powerful than phenol. Phenol is a major antiseptic used in commercial germicidal cleaners like Lysol. Thymol is one of the most potent antimicrobial substances known and far surpasses even the strongest antibiotics. It has been illustrated in the Journal of Chemistry and in the Merck Index of Drugs and Chemicals to destroy parasites, worms, fungi, bacteria, mosquito larvae, and many viruses.
The pharmaceutical and cosmetic industry is privy to the important medicinal effects of oil of Thymus vulgaris. It is ubiquitously found in gargles, cough drops, vapor rubs, and many mouthwashes. Oil of thyme is to be used, albeit very sparingly because of its potency, as a gargle or mouthwash for sore throats and inflamed gums. Because the volatile oil is expelled via the lungs and kidneys, naturopathic physicians use it for upper respiratory infections and urinary tract infections. If you're in the midst of a cold and are lying in bed with too much thyme on your hands, try making a thyme tea made with just a few teaspoons of thyme to a cup of boiling water. It's an excellent diaphoretic because it causes the body to perspire profusely. Thyme also possesses an excellent carminative and antispasmodic effect, helping in poor digestion, flatulence, and intestinal gripe.
So, listeners, if you're feeling ill, thyme heals all wounds. Remember to reach for that thyme in a bottle the next time you open up the natural medicine chest.
And thank you so much for joining us once again right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. You can always find out more at naturalnurse.com. We'd love to have you visit, and also let us know what you'd like to hear about or any questions. You can also contact all of our guests, and we have thousands, literally, of podcasts and radio shows there for you to listen to, as we also do right here on Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. Today we have with us as a guest Karen Howard, who is the Executive Director of Organic and Natural Health Association. Another place you want to check out is nutrientpower.org. And she has been involved both in advocacy, research, and leading the troops in terms of getting information about natural health and wellness to you, the consumer, as well as to physicians. So, Karen, what kind of outreach do you have? Because, unfortunately, there are still doctors that say what you eat has nothing to do with your health, and they do not measure nutrient levels as a standard of practice.
Oh, it is an ever-ending discussion around my world about how to broaden or, you know, expand the breadth of nutrient knowledge in conventional medicine. It's a big issue. It's one that lots of organizations have collaborated around for many years, as you well know, and I think, you know, it's just going to take some time. One of the things that I'm really struck by is the few numbers of practitioners in our space who actually measure omega-3 levels. It's not very common at all. Even in when you go in to, say, a naturopathic doctor and you're getting a big panel taken, not too often am I finding that people are consistently measuring omega-3 levels. So there's a lot of education to go on in a lot of different ways. One of the things that we're hoping to do, especially working with some of the integrative and functional medical groups, is to say, you know, how about creating a profile of your profession? How about you participate as a group in this, and we come back and show you how you can demonstrate that you are walking your talk. And I've been talking about doing this for many years, and now have really struck a chord with some of the industry leaders around these issues to say, this is research that will serve everyone. And then from that, obviously, your patients and clients will be better served. So that's the tact that we're taking on it. We've just begun those conversations to really expand what we're doing in terms of our nutrient field trials. And that's really our approach. The nutritionists are taking a slightly different approach. Everybody has their own kind of collective way of reaching out into that world, I think.
So let's talk more about omega-3. What is the research telling us about the benefits? I think many people have heard the term omega-3, but they're not really sure why they might need it.
Well, these are fatty acids, and I think there are a lot of people who are aware of omega-3s, and oftentimes they're told that they need to take them. You know, we have omega-3s, we have omega-6s, and omega-6s are, you need both.
unfortunately, the Western diet is full of omega-6s, and that creates a high inflammatory environment in your body, which I think everyone knows is not a healthy state, or one that can you can survive for, you know, over a lifetime. So the balance of omega-3 and 6 and reducing your intake of prepared foods is probably the best way to go about that. With 80 to 90% of the population being deficient in omega-3, and we have a beautiful map that illustrates that on nutrientpower.org, you can begin to see, as we know, there's brain development that happens, there's fetal brain development that happens, cardiovascular disease has been researched substantially in terms of the impact, the positive impact that omega-3s have in terms of, you know, reducing your risk of even now death. Some of the studies have come out. And yet, there is also research that shows that people are very non-compliant when they're taking the omega-3s. And I think part of that is, one, you don't get the, you know, we're all interested in getting immediate feedback, so you don't feel that much different. And if you do, sometimes it's because you picked up a not-so-high-quality bottle of a fish oil, and then you're like, ah, it tasted bad, made me perp. And if that happens, obviously, we need to throw those things away and start over. So I think those are some of the complexities around why people know that they should take them but don't necessarily stay on course with their supplement regimen.
Well, I really support doing a wide range of nutrient levels regularly as part of standard of practice, because that leads not only to increased health and wellness, it decreases disease rates in an extremely cost-effective way.
And one of the things we hear about all the time is, one, you can get all your nutrients you need from food, and two, these things don't really have a substantial impact on health outcome. And I think, you know, over time we have documented and will continue to document that these things are not true. But from the public's perspective, unless I know my level, I'm not given much incentive to do much about it. And I'm going to be really honest. I have never been a very compliant supplement taker. I'm one of those people who goes on a really good roll for a while and then kind of falls off. And I wasn't taking any omega-3 because I have this great organic diet, eat really well, love mackerel, sardines, and wild salmon. And when I took my omega-3 test, I was at just shy of 5, right around in there. And you really need to be above 8%. So now that I know I'm on the hook to take another test in 6 months, I'm pretty good about keeping up with my dietary supplements and certainly with my D. So, you know, just understanding and reading the research and the results of what has been generated has really highly motivated me to take care of myself in this way, in a way that I wasn't doing before.
Now, could any doctor order an omega-3 level?
Yes, they can, and they don't. I've actually been doing a little bit of research in the Medicaid population. Many of the states, I can't say with any authority yet how many, don't have a reimbursement code for omega-3.
Oh, well, that's big.
That's yeah. Big. I don't know if it's that it doesn't exist or that it hasn't been added into their panel, but it does speak to the lack of attention. So, you know, now we are working with institutions who have seen the power of vitamin D and are now interested in looking to see, can you imagine, just with brain health, what would happen if everybody was on their same omega, if they were in the right space on omega-3 and vitamin D. So that's actually something that we're very interested in learning more about.
So people can, and if they ask their doctor for an omega-3 test and the omega-3 test is done, the doctor can assure that they would be covered for it. That's what you're saying might be
it's
one of the
it's a possibility, absolutely. And I'm not confident that the predominant number of practitioners out there would actually understand what the level should be as well. So there's a big education effort to do on this one. Much like back in the day, vitamin D wasn't so well known. Our goal is to say, you know, every practitioner needs to understand the power of an omega-3 test. In the meantime, if you participate in the nutrient field trial through nutrientpower.org, you can do this yourself. You can measure your vitamin D and omega-3 levels with two blood spots. It takes about 10 days. And you participate in this very comprehensive survey that captures things like how much you are out in the sun, how much vitamin D and omega-3 you take or eat, what healthcare conditions are you currently grappling with, and that's the body of research that's being crowdsourced to support what is our long-term objective. So it's not as though this is a policy issue that has to wait. Unfortunately, we have 13 other nutrients we want to study, and half of the battle is what's the appropriate testing mechanism to get this into the public's hands. So that's our challenge. But right now, it's a very simple, easy, and cost-effective way. It doesn't require you to go to the doctor, schedule time away from all the things you have to do, and you can do it in the privacy of your home. So that is another option for folks to use.
So you send a kit? Is that how it's done?
It is. It's a kit. So enrollment in the study is actually $99 a person. And then you receive your kit, do your blood spot and return it, fill out the survey. And the really amazing thing about what Grassroots Health does, and they are an independent nonprofit research entity that's been at this now for about 7 years, is that they now have the ability to take your information and personalize it for you. So you'll know where you stand in relationship to everyone else in the study and to everyone else in the country as it relates to disease risk. So that's a really powerful tool that I don't think in all of our many conversations around personalized nutrition that people have actually been handed to. And you can take that information to your practitioner as well. So this is a very powerful incentive for people to take charge of their own health.
And what is the research telling us about the benefits of omega-3?
Well, the research is showing, primarily the most well-regarded research is showing that people who have, who are taking omega-3s consistently and achieve a higher level up in that towards 8 category are actually reducing their risk of cardiovascular death, disease related that causes death. So there is very strong research around the cardiovascular piece. There is very strong research developing around brain health. Even in areas like dementia, you're starting to see really good research come out around omega-3s and vitamin Ds. So I think that random controlled trials are a very important component of what we all do in the research arena, but it's just one piece. It enables lots of holes to be poked because nutrients are not well suited to these, I take something and the rest of you don't take it. Like, in a pharmaceutical study, when you're taking a foreign object and it goes into your body, you need to know that it's safe and you need to know that it's effective. But nutrients are there. The question is am I going to prevent somebody from eating omega-3s while I'm doing a controlled trial? Seems a bit strange. So that's why we're adding into this mix and saying gold standard or not, nutrient field trials are probably the better way to measure what's happening in your body. And then we'll have less conflicting information that's derived from smaller controlled trials that oftentimes get bad press for either very minor interpretations, small studies, or just simply there's variation in there that allows for people to sort of pick a good headline. And that's what we're shooting for.
Well, we're speaking here with our guest, very knowledgeable guest, Karen Howard, Executive Director of Organic and Natural Health Association. And you can check out also nutrientpower.org, which is loaded with information about the work that she really is involved in promoting, which is getting high-level evidence-based information to you about why you might want to look at your nutrition and know your levels and know the science, as well as various news and events that you can tune into to see what's going on in this field. And certainly your physician should know about this, but they don't in many cases, unfortunately. Why are doctors so poorly trained in the importance of nutrition, do you think, Karen?
Well, I probably don't have a good answer for that. Somewhere along the line, there was a break in terms of the practitioners who were holistic in their perspective. I did a piece a long time ago when I was working with the naturopaths around sort of the evolution of how this all transpired. And back when homeopathic colleges and universities were commonly accepted, and then when that shift to a more mechanical medicine came about, most people would tell you around the advent of antibiotics. There was a split in the profession in terms of people who went that direction to a more reductionist perception of what healthcare is. I have a head and I have a body and they're somehow separate, versus the collaborative sort of holistic approach that other practitioners that you and I love tend to have stayed with over time. And then as medicine became more and more monetized, I think that the way we deliver healthcare just supports that. You know, what process, what procedure, all of those things will be reimbursed, versus the implications of learning how to breathe deeply, which have probably a higher return on investment than any, probably even any vitamin we could take in that regard, and people's stress levels. So there's just that reductionist mechanical perspective that I think came to be. So one of the things that we added to NutrientPower.org was how to find a practitioner. Now, the organizations that we've listed are not members of ours, though they certainly are eligible to be, but we picked four that we thought would be great resources for folks who wanted to have a practitioner that approached medicine and healthcare in that more holistic fashion. So we have those listed on our websites that link directly to find a practitioner on each of those sites.
Oh, so where is that, under home, or where would somebody find a practitioner?
That's under resources.
Okay.
So there's a series of links under the top bar, resources for finding a practitioner, a glossary of some of these terms that we all throw about willy-nilly and may not have a full understanding on, and then links to some of the more, just some of the nuts and bolts of what we're talking about. Like, we have links to the American Grass-Fed Association that has a new meat and dairy standard, and we have links to the FDA. But if you look at find a practitioner under resources, you'll see the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians, a little bias on my part, American College for the Advancement of Medicine, the American Nutrition Association, and the Institute for Functional Medicine. Each of those will link directly to a how to find a practitioner based on my zip code.
Right. I use that one on the Institute for Functional Medicine quite a bit for
Absolutely,
patients.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, and are trying to seek doctors who at least have taken, you know, their own money and time to become certified and really discuss functional medicine, which supports the use of balanced nutrition, both by using healthy food, that's of course always important, and then also supplementing when necessary. And that's why the testing is so important, because then you really have your handle on what and when and how much you might need to supplement, and if those pills you're popping actually are doing anything. Because as you pointed out correctly, Karen, we're not looking at a specific brand, but certainly on the market, everything is available, from useless to excellent.
So true. It is so true. And we actually have a piece as well that gives people tips about how to look for quality supplements, because there is everything on the shelf in every price range. And I often tell people price is actually a feature that you need to pay attention to. So if there is, you know, and where you go, I mean, it's so much easier to go to a quality, independent, natural retailer where they have people who understand what's on their shelves, whether it's a Whole Food or natural grocers, and to actually access that expertise. And if you're searching online, what you can look for on those company websites that might be a red flag or a great indicator of quality. I know companies that are actually putting video cameras on their production lines. They're so committed to transparency and traceability. One of the things that might be really interesting for your listeners is we were just in Vegas at the National Supplement Supply Side West Conference, which is really, it's an amazing place. Thousands of people all committed to the best that our supply chain can offer. And from what field did that herb come through, all the way down to, you know, what's the capsule that you put it in? So everyone's there shopping. The brands are there shopping with the suppliers. And we did some Facebook Live interviews of what people are doing to show transparency and traceability in their supply chain. And it's really interesting little 5-minute segments that people can get a lot of information out of.
Excellent. That's really helpful, and thank you for that. We're going to take another break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and to
remind you, listeners, you can always find us at naturalnurse.com in terms of books that we've written, classes, workshops, certifications that go on all over the country every single day. Check out naturalnurse.com. You can look for our books, our radio shows, our television shows, and our workshops and classes by going there. And our guest today, Karen Howard, you can find some great information at nutrientpower.org, and also she's the director of Organic and Natural Health Association. Tons of information for you at organicandnatural.org. We will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Stay tuned to PRN.FM for more empowering ideas from progressive voices. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Hello, this is Cordelia Gaffar. I'm the founder of Workout Around My Day and the Stressless Mom of Six. I have started the new Replenish Me radio show to help moms to have strategies to get through their day and to renew themselves throughout the day with little small self-care tips. And I'll be having interviews with self-love coaches, wellness coaches, just to help you. So join me Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and replenish you.
This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and I'm the host of What Women Must Know, every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. As a naturopathic doctor and psychotherapist, I am always seeking the latest solutions to help you rejuvenate and regenerate your body, mind, and spirit. So join me, Dr. Cheryl, and my inspiring guests, authors, health practitioners, and wise elders, to empower yourself by expanding your knowledge about your health and your hormones, and to gain fresh new perspectives on life. That's What Women Must Know every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Stay tuned to PRN.FM for more empowering ideas from progressive voices. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
To more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and you can find us at naturalnurse.com. Our guest today is Karen Howard, Executive Director of Organic and Natural Health Association, organicandnatural.org, and her companion website, nutrientpower.org, which I've been surfing through while we're talking here today on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and it has an amazing array of very useful information for you, and it's all there to explore. Now, there's so many places to go in our conversation today, Karen, but we don't have that much more time. So I would like to go into how people could get involved in looking at their own nutrient deficiencies, perhaps, with a focus on vitamin D and omega-3.
Absolutely. So one of the key objectives to NutrientPower.org is to provide information to the public about how each individual can get involved personally. What happens is when you click on that button that says learn more about our study or enroll today, I think it's on every page, you're taken to Grassroots Health. Grassroots Health is an independent research organization based out of Southern California. They have more than 50 internationally renowned researchers on their team located at academic institutions all across North America and some into Europe and other places. So what happens is that you'll learn more about the actual study. You'll see the blood spot test kit on our page, and there's a video about how it actually works. So you just you can enroll. There's an enrollment provision for $99, and that will enable you to get the test kit sent to you, where you will basically do two sticks for a blood spot for a vitamin D test and one for an omega-3. You send that back to Grassroots Health. And you also complete a very dense survey that serves as the foundation for where you are with whatever level that you will have sent back to you. So you'll put in how much time you're in the sun, how much omega-3 you eat during the day. Interestingly, three questions about magnesium. Magnesium is one of those nutrients that's incredibly difficult to measure, but the questions that we ask can then generate, a lot of people take vitamin D and their levels never go up, and they don't understand why. And what we're finding is that if you consume magnesium, that your vitamin level will actually improve for D. So those are the kinds of questions that we're asking on the survey. And then within a very short amount of time, you'll get results back with this analysis of where you stand in the cohort and with the rest of the world in terms of your vitamin D level and omega-3. The goal, of course, being that our omega-3 data is new. We just started. We have over 500 people who have already enrolled in the omega-3 portion of this, and that over time we'll be able to generate more solid information around effective levels and what happens to me and my body when I have an omega-3 level of 8.
Well, yes, and thank you so much. That's a way that people can take their health into their own hands, which is actually the logo on my website includes a statement that says, your health is in your hands.
Because exactly, and this is for us,
certainly health providers can act as our partners.
It has to be a partnership. I mean, I don't know how you do this without partnership. And this is really, you know, this is our tagline, you know your level, live life well, is really about creating a collective force of people to create a healthy environment, you know, to create a healthy world and healthy people. So that is our, you know, call to action on the site, but for sure. But know that there are 13 other nutrients on there, some of which people are very familiar with, like vitamin C, and others like S is anthem no one can say or spell or know what it is. And these are all nutrients that we've identified as people suffering significantly from deficiency. So that's a big piece of also learning how you can take more ownership and be more knowledgeable about the things you need to eat and the supplements you could take.
Well, another important thing to know is that if anyone is taking any pharmaceutical drugs, I actually teach a class at the college level called Drug Nutrient Depletion, mm-hmm. because almost every single drug depletes, either pulls nutrients or stops them from being manufactured by our body and does cause deficiencies. And it's so amazing because very often the adverse effect profile is very similar to a low-level deficiency profile of the nutrient that drug depletes.
Aha. Uh-huh. That makes sense.
Yeah, so it should really be more widely taught at medical schools and at doctors' conventions. But instead, like you said, very often you'll hear in the news, and I'm sure there are organizations, PR organizations, paid by the pharmaceutical industry, every time there's a small issue with a natural substance, that you hear about right away.
There is always a headline that we can point to on that one, the most recent being the vitamin 12, you know, B12 and what implications there are for cancer rates. It's a really great headline, and it scares a lot of people. And yes, your vitamin B levels can be high, and that's not a good thing. But in the small script, it said, one of the authors says, the only reason we know this is because at a certain point in time, not over time, we actually measured somebody's vitamin B12 level. So it's like, over time is really the key to this. You know, what happens over time? And as you participate in the study and you write down all the medications you may be on and the and any of the diagnoses that you may have been provided by a practitioner, these are the things that you'll begin to understand that implicate, you know, those kinds of deficiencies that you're talking about, Ellen, that will make a difference in terms of how people can improve their health.
Yeah, so it's really knowledge, which is something that you're helping people gain access to as well. Because sure, that becomes, you know, I always like to look back, like, who paid for this, the PR company that promotes a headline about those B vitamins, which, by the way, what the whole study really said, because I read the study, not just the headline, is that men who smoke cigarettes have a higher level of getting lung cancer.
Yes.
You know, that was a big part of the data.
And I have been cautioned for years that B12 and smoking don't mix.
Exactly. And so, right. And so, you know, the smoking is an awfully big part of it, but it seemed in these studies and how it came out by the time it got to the news is that taking vitamins cause cancer.
You know, there was a recent one, too, on vitamin D in the last several months, and it was so flawed and so misrepresented and clearly so financed by someone we couldn't identify that we actually issued a press release on it. It's and that's one of the reasons for this site. It's overwhelming. You know, we are all bombarded with all kinds of information all the time, and it's very difficult to sift through the bits and pieces and headlines and stories that people are promoting. So this is what we hope to accomplish on NutrientPower.org, to be able to provide this kind of information that's meaningful and hopefully continually updated on a regular basis.
Well, that is, you know, really wonderful that you're doing this kind of work. And as we go off, we just want to give you time to make a closing statement and also give your contact information out to our listeners.
Yes, please. Join us at NutrientPower.org and become part of this cohort that really understands and appreciates that knowing your levels enables you to live life well. Feel free to participate in the omega-3 and vitamin D nutrient field trial. And for further information, you can always check out our Facebook page, which is where we provide a lot of this information on all of the research that's out there.
And what is the Facebook page?
Facebook page is Organic and Natural Health Association. Fairly easy to remember. Also,
yes,
a link on NutrientPower.org.
Thank you so much, Karen. All that great work. I can't believe that I never knew these websites before, and they're something
it's
I
new.
Definitely will share with colleagues, students, nurses, doctors, and consumers, because it's really beautifully done. And thank you so much for being our guest today right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Thank you, Ellen.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us once again. As always, myself, Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse at naturalnurse.com, and Dr. Eugene Zamperone. And we love to hear from you. Get in touch. And until next time, we're wishing you the best. Stay healthy.